Right, good evening, everybody. Welcome all to the meeting of the Scrutiny, Regeneration, Development and Market Hall Committee. Got any apologies, please, Daniel?
Thank you, Chair. We've received apologies for Councillor Hadley and Councillor Allen. And with that, he is nominated Councillor Gould as a substitute.
Okay, thank you. Any declarations of interest to declare on any items under discussion at this evening's meeting? Anyone? No. To consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. I'm not aware of any urgent business for consideration at the meeting. No. Questions from the public? We do not haven't received any questions from members of the public either. We have not received any questions from members of the committee. I propose the approval of the public minutes from the previous meeting. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Locke? We will now go to the vote. All those for? All those against? And any abstentions? Councillor Gould? Confirm that the vote is carried. Burton Market Hall's local urban room. I now invite the representatives local, Stephen Dexter, to provide the presentation on the ongoing Market Hall consultation. Thank you, Stephen.
Hello. So, hi everyone. So my name's Stephen Dexter and I'm from an organisation called Local. We do a lot of kind of arts and public realm kind of work, and we also specialise in community engagement around different things like master plans and different facets of plans for the community. We've been brought in over in Burton to conduct a community engagement exercise around the Market Hall here. We've done this through a tactic called an urban room. An urban room is a national kind of national kind of tactic to have for people to have their say in the future of their place, and we are kind of innovating within that kind of space to develop opportunities for people to have their say and influence plans for the kind of plans for their town. So within our community engagement that we've done over the last kind of few weeks over here in Burton, we've done some pop-up urban rooms in the Market Hall, in the shopping centre and in the college, and then we've had a few focus groups and things like that as well. We've conducted kind of conversations around social media, and we've like developed an online platform. We've had a mapping kind of process, and we've just had a few different ways for people to kind of give their thoughts on what's a really hot topic in the town. Yeah, so that's just the engagement days that I spoke about before. So here's some of the standout themes that we've heard so far. I'm going to give a very brief kind of overview of what the themes and some of the key messages are, and then I'm going to kind of put some of this back to the people in the room to kind of have your say as well and just have that documented too. So, some of the standout things that we've heard so far is the need for a place to dwell, work, rest and play, and the idea that the hall can be used for something along those lines. We've had some kind of issues around the safety of the area, especially around young people. The need for a mix of affordability with high quality, a hub, an anchor, a focal point for the town. This idea that Burton faces away from the river is needs a bit more explaining, but it's basically this kind of something that's been mentioned a lot in the community is this thoughts around how there's an opportunity to bring the river into the town and develop more of a kind of tourist cultural offer around that as an asset rather than something that's maybe an inconvenience. And then a big thing was around the curation. So the curation of events, marketing and selection of stores and artisans for the building. So a kind of a plan around what is to go into the space. Again, linked to kind of quality and a a purposeful vision for the building. And then, yeah, branding, marketing, and a kind of and strategies around that. The public said very clearly in our engagement that they needed more information about how to use the hall, what is on, and how to kind of be part of it, I suppose. And then, yeah, connecting the surrounding area through wayfinding and signage and things like that, and creating routes to kind of intercept the footfall that already happens through the town. There's a lot of, you know, the college next door has like 2,000 students that walk past it every day. This is one of the things that will come out in our evaluation, but these are just some themes I'm hitting on. And then, yeah, the last thing, a place to dwell, work, rest and play, again, just repeating the other slide before. But yeah, it's so there's some of the key themes, and then I'll go through quickly kind of some of the ideas and opinions that have came through. These are just the overarching themes that I'm going to go through in more detail now, but around the operation model, what's non-negotiable, working together to find a solution, potential offer in relation to other developments and proposals, confidence in the process, key offers in filling current gaps in the town centre, what the current barriers to a diverse range of people visiting the market hall, and are there any themes that we can draw on in the discussion tonight as well? So this is the kind of stage now where I'm going to open this up to other people for a discussion, just to have some ideas put on the record here tonight as well. One of the key things around this is around the operation model for the market hall and how that might look. Now we have a couple of kind of opposing factions within this, I would say, so obviously we have this private operator model, a community operated approach, like a community cooperative, and then this idea of can there be a hybrid or things that happen in between that. I just wanted to ask people in the room about what their thoughts are on the operation model and what will serve the people of the town best.
Thank you, Stephen. Are there any questions for Stephen? Councillor Lott?
It's not so much a question as a query. Mm-hmm. So up there you've got three operation models, private operator, community cooperative approach and hybrid of the two. Mm-hmm. I suspect from the discussions that we've had over the last year in this committee and others, it's likely to remain a council-run facility, that it wouldn't end up being run by a private operator necessarily. By community cooperative, I think we've established that actually, I know we've got Councillor Walker in the room, that what we're referring to is more of a community-light approach. So the community don't necessarily manage it themselves, they don't own it, but we pay more attention to the community and what events are run and how we support them. Mm-hmm. So I think my query is I think there's one missing. I think it's probably the one we end up with, which is a more community-focused but council-run facility.
Yeah, I suppose the hybrid is kind of, it's probably not well articulated there, but it is this approach of, It's maybe a mixture of these two things, but it's also the idea as well that maybe one approach isn't one way to do this. So there are lots of kind of examples across the country of market halls that have maybe even have a private operator in one part of the space and then community operated in other parts of it. And a private operator doesn't mean that the council gives over the asset. It's a rental agreement, you know, essentially. So there are lots of different ways to do this, and lots of this has been kind of flagged in it during the kind of engagement stage as well, that it doesn't have to be necessarily because even with the council operating it, they will be giving it over to private operators within that space, you know, to take on units. So what would happen if a private operator said, I wanted five or six of these and ran something like that? There are a few different ways to do this, and obviously the logistics of the buildings come into play with this as well. There's a whole kind of side that is set up for maybe food and drink, and then there's a whole other side that maybe can't take on that because of the because of the listing of the building and things like that. So, essentially, I'm glad that you kind of have raised that, what you've said there on the record, because it's really important to have that as part of our evaluation as well. But is in terms of, because obviously there's a manifesto kind of pledge to speak to and things like that as well within this. I think part of our evaluation will talk about what is this private operator model that one part of the community are really pushing for, and what is this community operator, and what does this mixture kind of look like? And I think there's a lot more to break down of this, and I think we'll try and do the best we can with that in our evaluation to a satisfactory degree for people as well. Does anyone have any more questions about the operation model, or kind of any more thoughts about what this kind of pertains to? I'd say that the people who are pushing most for the kind of private operation model, there is an element of there's an element of that they just think it needs to be given to people who are experts in the field and who can deliver something that is a kind of hospitality kind of hub for the town, and it's developing the confidence within the council and through a comms plan to show the community that this could potentially happen in many different ways other than just a private operator as well, is something that we've been thinking about too. So yeah, it's a hot topic, and there's lots of different approaches. So yeah, is there anyone else have any other questions around that one?
Any more questions? No.
Has everyone been to the urban room just before we came?
I didn't actually speak to the individuals, but I did a little observation to see how it was going. You seem to have quite a few people engaging.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. It's been a popular space, and it's been open kind of while we've not been there, and we found that there's been a lot of engagement while we haven't been there as well, which has been good. I think you get more honest opinions when the person isn't there in front of you as well, so no, it's been good. So the next thing we'll go on to is around the offer for the town. So this idea of creating a hub and destination to fill the gaps in the town centre offer, that how can that kind of happen through the market hall? So some popular choices from the community have been a co-working space on the mezzanine, an artisan or high-quality food and drink offer, a place to relax and meet friends and family, a tourist information point, a well-being space, prayer room or accessible facilities, recreation and leisure activities, kind of family-friendly specifically there, I might add. And then local history and distinctiveness on display in the market hall in some way. And then opening hours to be extended to accommodate professionals and students. These are all things that we've heard a lot of during the consultation. Does anyone else have anything else to kind of add to that? There's lots, so I'm sure there will be.
Yeah. Councillor Locke.
So I'm very talkative.
Yeah.
I'm delighted to see the mezzanine mentioned. I think that's one of the biggest lost opportunities in that market hall. It's a fabulous space. But what do they mean by co-working? Do you think they were getting at students coming in from the college, mm-hmm. or entrepreneurs wanting to rent a more formal space, both. Or something else?
Absolutely both. So the students expressed a big desire to have a space that was away from the college, to basically be treated as, you know, an adult, as to be able to kind of go and relax, get out of the college environment, but also focus and be in a kind of slightly different situation that's kind of quite exciting. And then lots of people have talked about co-working space in the town. I've asked a lot of people, and no one's been able to tell me where the co-working spaces are. Obviously, a big thing around that in the market hall is Wi-Fi and things as well, but people see the mezzanine as a place to go to for specific things. So I'm going to go to a co-working environment, so I will head up the stairs to the mezzanine and go there, whereas retailers and people with market stores have said that the mezzanine is a barrier to, because unless it's a specific event, it's difficult to kind of get the residual footfall that you would normally expect from a market hall experience up on the mezzanine bit at the moment anyway. So that it seems more suited to kind of community kind of things, pop-ups to do with specific kind of issues and things like that, and then this kind of co-working space and hub as well is a big it did come up time and time again, that one. So I suppose the answer is both those things.
If I may ask one more.
Yeah.
Has anyone really stressed the reconfigurability of the space being important going forwards, so it can support different types of event, or has that not really come up?
That's been a big one as well, actually. So lots of people have talked about how the space needs to be flexible and how it needs to be able to take on all kinds of different events and be able to be reconfigured for different occasions. So at the moment, the team that are there are kind of doing that. It is a flexible space. You know, I see it packed up for, you know, one day there's a big kind of market event, and then the next day there was a gig, and you know, there's been quite a lot of work in the community from different groups to kind of diversify the offer through external hire means, and I think the aim of those groups is to demonstrate the different uses of the building, and I think that's largely a big success, and it is doing what it should do. I think that's a really I think it should continue to be used as an event space in that way. There are things that need to happen there for that to be properly successful in terms of investment in a PA system and all the kind of correct equipment that you might need to really push it on as a really desirable venue. Everything is there, and I think the space as it is at the moment does serve multiple purposes, and that seems to be a good thing. And I think that's how, personal opinion, probably how it should stay, to be able to keep a diverse range of things happening in the space, because all of the research shows that any kind of space like this needs to be able to serve multiple functions to survive, and it's like that with every kind of shop on the high street and everything. Now it's got to be able to do a lot of different things, so it's kind of set up for that as it stands.
Councillor Swanagh.
If the market hall is full, you know, which we all want, how easy would it be then to have evening events? I mean, is that possible?
It's that would be up to the programming of the space, but I would imagine that the perimeter of the market hall is, you know, you can occupy that space, and then it's the middle of it would need to be able to be kind of packed away in certain ways, and there would have to be scalable offers in terms of who rents what spaces and in what way as to how that works. But it's achievable. Again, lots of other places do it, and it's being kind of demonstrated at the moment in Burton through the private hires that are currently happening. I think the public see it as a hub that's not used currently, and it's as a kind of destination as well. There's some things that I want to bring up in here around the function of the market hall compared to functions of other buildings and other sites in the town centre as well, and what that and how that needs to be how that needs to be both visions for different things need to be articulated so that there's a kind of holistic approach to culture in the town centre going forward. Does anyone have any more to say about the offer? Does anyone have any other thoughts about what the offer should be?
Councillor Lott.
It's not about what it should be, but I was just wondering whether the people you've spoken to included a sample of the local shopkeepers who might have their own thoughts on whether the area can support some of those or how easily it could support additional capacity in some of those bullet-pointed areas.
Yeah. So the view on the ground in terms of local shopkeepers in the surrounding the market hall and then also retailers within the space currently as well, we've spoken to both kind of groups. There's a detect a kind of little bit of pessimism outside about how the footfall can be generated to support a future vision for the place. A lot of independent retailers are kind of in that space doing the best they can, but everybody welcomes trying it's kind of widely acknowledged that the success of the market hall is the success of the town and kind of has a kind of an effect that emanates further. Those who are currently in the hall at the moment have a really strong vision for how they want it to be, and they've developed a really strong team with this, that are currently working very hard to kind of position themselves to become everything that the market hall needs to be going forward. I've put to the group in the market hall, well, our team has put to the group as well, about around the skills within the team, is the skills and capacity within that current team there in order to deliver what the town needs? And the group within the hall think that yes, that is the case, and I think there needs to be some kind of plans and things forthcoming to be able to see what that looks like in order for kind of professionals to make a judgment on that, because it's one thing that's clear from the wider community that you talk to is that something definitely does have to change in the market hall. There isn't, that's a unanimous thing.
Would you like to speak?
Just a quick one, really. I know this has been going for a little while. Mm-hmm. What level of participation have you had in terms of everyone who has gone into, say, the market hall? Have they come and spoken to you? Mm-hmm. Is the vision from those that have spoken to you the same as what is currently there in terms of, I can't see on there, market holders and wanting more markets in that area? Mm-hmm. Just whether those that have spoken to you may differ in their opinions from those who are physically in the building now, and just really the level of participation, really.
Thanks. Yeah, so the level of participation from passing footfall and the general public has been great. We've had a lot of kind of really great conversations with loads of people, so it's been kind of, we've been hitting our kind of targets, I would say, in that sense. In terms of speaking to the people in the market hall, there's been about five groups of people who have been, five people, I would say, who've been very vocal, had conversations at length with us, and it's been really, and have contributed a lot to the kind of dialogue face-to-face. And then the rest of the people in the hall, I know, are adding to it while we're not there, which is part of it as well. The reason why we did that was so that people who didn't feel like they could say what they wanted to say face-to-face or just didn't feel comfortable because of the situation, which is a difficult situation. Everyone acknowledges that. I think when we've gone away, there has been more of that come in, and we can kind of see that because we've kind of asked traders if that's been the case, and they've said, yeah, we've contributed, you know. There is, obviously, there's a level of kind of distrust in the process and anger within the group there as well, which I kind of will touch on in a bit too. But in terms of the participation, we've had a good diverse group. What I would say that has been lacking, which is kind of quite strange, is I'm going to say like an age range which is massive, which is kind of 20 to kind of like 50 years old, but it's that kind of like professional kind of demographic that because of where we found ourselves and when we've not had as much engagement from that group of people, we've had a lot of that online from that group of people instead, through the kind of website and the mapping tool that we've had. But in terms of kind of face-to-face interactions with that group, less. And we found that in other places that we've kind of worked in as well recently, actually. But it's interesting because they are key. They are the key group to this because they need to start using that space. And currently, the group of people that most use the space are kind of, it's kind of like more 50 plus and, you know, kind of white British, you know, not much diversity in the space because of the current offer, really. But we spoke to kind of groups who kind of represent the kind of ethnographic breakdown of Burton upon Trent during the consultation, who were like, talk a lot about how they really want to use the hall and can see it being a hub if it had X, Y, and Z. So yeah, it's, I don't know if that answers your question, actually. But
it was just thinking of the different people who have been there and whether their views are completely different to the traders that are in there, and whether, as you've turned your back, the traders have gone in and put what they think down, just to see if those views align at all.
Right, okay, I understand. I think they are different. I think they're odd. And it's around what's currently, what's kind of the current offer is and what people want. I think people want something different from what's going on there. But also the traders that are currently there recognise that and are doing their thing to try and change that. But it's, there's definitely a difference in opinion there. So this is one just talking about what is non-negotiable. So this kind of idea of what absolutely has to happen in the market hall in order for it to be a kind of success or an asset for the town. Because we've, lots of people throughout the process and lots of the biggest voices in this kind of debate have came in and been very like, oh, this is what needs to happen. But then through conversation, they've actually gone, oh, well, I'd accept that or I'd accept this. And there's been a softening of people's opinions because, and what's kind of formed is this, well, I'm not really kind of, lots of people with kind of hardline opinions when they've come in have left saying, well, so long as it's a quality offer, I don't mind how we get there, I think is a broad consensus around that. But there are a few kind of red lines that people have talked about, and I just kind of wondered if anyone had any thoughts on what absolutely must happen at the hall.
That's a lot.
I was just wondering, the red lines other people have mentioned, is one of them that this should fundamentally be a market hall and should remain a market hall? Would that be fair to say? Is that something we all agree on in the community, do you think?
Yes. So, but it's, to my mind, there are two types of market hall. There's the traditional idea of a market hall that was successful 30 years ago, and then there's the idea of a kind of food hall, artisan, hospitality-led market hall. And I think they're two different things, and it's kind of getting confused a little bit in the... And some of the kind of most popular and successful market halls merge those two things quite well. So you look at things like Wrexham and things like that, they kind of have this approach where you've got a lot of the traditional kind of fruit and veg, butchers, cheese, delis, things like that, mixed with a brilliant artisan offer, and also some affordable kind of cafes that anyone can access. And so there's, but obviously we've had one thing that came up time and time again was the idea of changing it to a library, and that was very unpopular, and that I think that's been acknowledged, and we've spoken to everyone involved in that as well. And it's but yeah, that is not what the public wanted, and a lot of people have brought that up. So yeah, it's a food hall, but a market hall, sorry, but within that scale of kind of a bygone market hall with a new age kind of market hall approach.
Any other questions to Stephen for that?
So the current barriers stopping people from visiting the market hall as it stands, so some kind of prompts around that: the surrounding area and the welcome, the facilities available inside, the promotion of the space, the offer, and the kind of that kind of reputation, or just this idea that it's kind of not for me. So for example, the reputational thing was most prominent amongst college students who had just said that it's always had nothing there for me, and therefore I will never go into it. I just wondered if there are any other kind of like barriers to overcome that people can think of in the room for us to kind of add to the evaluation.
I think the welcome is a good thing. You know, when you go through the door, you've got the mobility scooters, and I think that does put a lot of people off when they go into the market hall, because they just then have this image that it's not for them.
Yeah.
So I think we need to look at that, really. When you walk in, it needs to be a welcoming sort of...
I think it's that it comes back to the curation of the space again, and the first things you see are the first impressions that develop your understanding of the space. And even we spoke to four people on mobility scooters during the engagement, and each one said that the mobility scooter shop shouldn't really be there in their eyes, even that they thought that it was they would go to it because it's a kind of service that is essential. They would go to it wherever it was, so it didn't need to be in the hall per se, and that's... Oh, it's obviously a very successful business as well, and doing really well. And this is the thing: these things aren't a slight on the businesses that are there. There's just a thing around curation and what people's expectations are of market halls in 2024. So, yeah, it's things like what people see as soon as they walk in, and how inviting the office seems. Upon entry is one of the big ones for sure.
Any more questions?
No? And this is just around other plans for the town, so plans around things like the Bass House site and kind of local development, and any other kind of buildings or infrastructure or kind of plans at the moment that are in that are underway that will impact or double up on what's planned in the market hall. So if anyone's just kind of flagging, if anyone's aware of any other developments and things like that. For example, some people came to the the consultation and said, well, there's going to be a big market hall in Derby soon and people will just go to that instead. Our research doesn't necessarily support that, but that is just an example.
Slight aside, the college is a primary footfall generator. Have you spoken to representatives of the college as to whether they believe that's a sensible or sustainable option? So obviously the number of college students isn't going to radically increase. They're currently not starving to death, so they must be eating somewhere and working somewhere.
Yeah.
If they're not where they are now and they're coming to the market, or what impact is that going to have on either their own facilities or the ones of the surrounding traders?
See, yeah. So, you're talking about the directing them away from other local current other local businesses.
Well, there isn't really another option. We would be diverting them from somewhere. The question is, where are they currently going that they wouldn't be going anymore? Because they'd be coming to our new market hall. I was just wondering if the college had been approached for an opinion on that, whether they feel that they haven't got enough facilities, for example, and they'd welcome us adding to their study spaces and their food offerings or not.
Yeah, so we've worked really closely with the college throughout this. We've been working with Chris Beach on this, and the kind of sense that we get is that the college are really keen for this to be a success, because it's just a breakout space for the students and another place for them to be and to rest and to kind of revitalise going back into college again. The facilities that are in there at the moment are doing well, I think I get the sense that they're funded in a way that, you know, it's all about progression routes for the students and training as well. So they're kind of essential in other ways, other than just kind of generating a kind of profit for that space. They're kind of inbuilt into the courses and things too. We've talked to the college about what that might look like in the market hall itself, and how they can have a stake in businesses in the market hall, or how students or the college can set up businesses in the hall linked to their studies that are progression routes. Because one of the main things that people have talked about that has been seen as a plus and a negative in the market hall is this idea that people are a success there and then they leave. But what that's showing is it's offering a really kind of dynamic and brilliant progression route, because it's affordable, it's accessible, and then you can start your business there and build it. So a business plan around how to sustain that and to sustain the constant flow of exciting young new businesses coming through the space is quite an important consideration in this. But yeah, the college are really keen to have to be part of it in any way they can. We had an urban room in the college, and they've actually taken on our urban room approach and to create a permanent urban room wall in the college to keep on developing this community engagement idea around urban rooms in the college and around the town, to kind of make a more sustainable approach to community engagement. So it's been a really good, successful kind of partnership approach with the college, and I didn't get any indication or any kind of sign that they were worried about a success of the hall taken away from anything else. I must be honest, I haven't spoken to many local businesses specifically on that point. So local cafes, for example, around the college student and the market hall potentially taking away that trade. So that's something that I can raise next time I'm in town. I can kind of have a little walk around and ask that question, because it's a good one. Anything else around this point? I'll just move through the last couple of ones. So this is around working together for a way forward, and kind of leaving it on this really, but kind of developing an understanding on what the disparate opinions agree upon, and then how a kind of something can be formed within that space of what people actually do agree on. So within our evaluation, we'll be presenting some themes on what people do actually agree on as the kind of key building blocks to create something here. And then it's just things like identifying who has vested interest in a certain outcome, and how to manage kind of conflicting visions and embrace the opportunities that come up as well. So these are just kind of some themes that have come up within this, again, because it is such a hotly debated subject. There's a lot of, there has to be a plan for working within the disagreement to find a way to do this that will satisfy kind of as broad an audience as possible. And a big part of that, and I've spoken to kind of people already about this, is around the communication of the communication to the town and to the different stakeholders around what this offer is, what the decisions have been made and why they've been made and how they've been considered. I suppose it's just that kind of transparency. A lot of people have discussed how they want to see more transparency in the processes, to kind of steer away from the mistrust that develops when there isn't the transparency within the processes as well. There we go. Last couple of slides. So the confidence in the process is just what I've just alluded to, really. Does anyone have anything to say around that?
As you mentioned, transparency. So we're aware that the market hall roof has to be fixed, and fixed quickly. There's also a significant maintenance backlog for the building, which is unlikely to be cleared until we decide what the building's going to be. When do you see the closure of this data collection process and the reporting to occur? Do you have a feel for how long that's going to take?
So the official pop-ups and the kind of one-to-one kind of focused engagement work is coming to a close. I've got one more focus group to deliver with a women's group, a South Asian women's group, and then after that, we are going to then kind of we'll have one more look around the urban room spaces in the college and the market hall, gather all the information. But we've kind of started to form our evaluation already, and we'd say, what are we on now? We would hope that by the end of April we'd have something that we can give to the team, to the council. That's kind of what we're working towards at the moment. That's all I can really say on that. And then obviously then it's up to the local authority with what they will then do with that information. But we are looking to kind of give the work over in the next month or so.
Any more questions?
Can I ask a question of yourself, Chair?
Yes.
Do we know what the follow-on steps are from the receiving of that report? What steps do we then take as a council? Has there been a strategy outlined there? I'm not asking Councillor Walker to chip in, but he's welcome to, I guess.
I think then obviously we'll look at the evaluation and see what comes of that, and then we'll discuss it as a council, so as an administration, and see where we go from there. Because obviously we want to do what, like people have said, we want to look at all the aspects of what people have said and see how we put that together and do what the community is asking of us, really, and not what we like to do as a administration, but hopefully make it that it's make everyone happy, really, because I think the vested interest is the community as a whole, and make sure that we put together something that is good for everybody, really, especially the young people, because I mean, I've seen them at the market where they do get their food and they sit on the market stalls if they're still out. We want them to come into the market and use that space, as well as different members of our community to come and use that space. So we'll see what comes from the evaluation, really. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead, Councillor Walker.
I think we're in a little uncharted territories, if I'm totally honest. I think if Stephen presents his report at the end of April, I think the next step would obviously to bring those reports and findings back to this scrutiny committee. And then we all have a discussion. Hopefully, you know, I could be invited back in May and we all sit round and sort of look at the findings and see what collectively, you know, in this scrutiny committee we think is the best way forward. And then we look to get others involved. I would like to see at some point us approach the tech with their degree students, because they've got the equipment now through the Towns Fund Board where we can go and map these things out. And because as Kim says to me, the young people are the future of the town, and let's have a look, see what their vision is once they've done all this kind of work.
Can I just say thank you to Councillor Walker? You could just have sat there and you didn't have to say anything. That's really useful, what you just said. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Walker. Any more questions for Stephen before he goes? No? Thank you, Stephen. That was really good. Thank you.
Yeah, so sorry, Chair, I think we were just going to talk about the scrutiny review programme first, I think, weren't we? So just on that then, I think as we know, over the course of the year, the ongoing scrutiny work has been focused on the market hall, as we know, in particular looking at the merits of the community cooperative model idea. And I think the last time the committee met, it was indicated the preference was to pause that previous review pending the consultation outcomes, which obviously links into the conversation that we've had there with Stephen, and that you'd look to rescope that into a similar review with an alternative focus. So excuse me, as a bit of an update, the colleague that was previously facilitating this committee and supporting you in your work has moved on from the organisation now. So I'll be helping pick things up to support this committee myself as we move forward. And I suggest we'll get something in the diaries as soon as possible on that one. So happy to pick that up if that's still something that we want to do as a committee. It's also potentially useful to have, I suppose, a programme, if you like, of things that we want to look at over the course of the year ahead as well. So if there are any thoughts on other potential reviews, then we're happy to, you know, take note of those. Perhaps a good time of the year to think about that, with a new corporate plan recently approved, setting out what we're going to be doing for the year ahead. And I suppose in many ways, you're in a good place as well, with the remit of the committee being quite broad. As I've probably said before, you know, we've got the regeneration and the development strands of the council, as well as the market hall, of course, or the markets, to think about as to what we might want to review. So we'll obviously build some momentum now on the current review. We're happy to take in any thoughts from the committee as what else we might want to do moving forward, either now or obviously happy to take those in outside of the meeting as well.
Anybody got anything that they'd like to look at in the future? We could always get a Zoom and
So we'll get that moving forward. I'll pick that up now. We'll get something in everybody's diaries as a group to move that between meetings. Happy to do that. Okay. Yeah, so we've got there the quarterly performance reports. We're obviously looking at the council's progress towards achieving the corporate plan priorities up to the end of December of the year just gone, along with the latest updates on the leisure contract and the Townsville programme as well. But focusing really on the corporate plan, each target's been graded in the normal way using that traffic light style system of ratings. That's dependent on the progress of each individual indicator. But if we take the 126 targets that are live, it equates to the council being at 93.65% green. It's just 2.38% amber and then just 3.97% red. So, of course, the numbers suggest that, generally speaking, the corporate performance continues to be very good. But just to provide a little bit of further breakdown on those high-level figures, there's the tables you can see on pages 6 and 7. They show a bit of further analysis, including how those percentages break down across the corporate priorities as well as across the individual cabinet portfolios. And then in pages 8 and 9 of the report, we've got some additional information there as well to provide the context around the situation with each of those small number of red and amber targets that I've talked about. Also worth saying that Appendix 1 does, of course, include comprehensive data on all the targets in the corporate plan, whether they're red, green or amber. But as I say, you know, overall, the numbers are very positive. The report also does provide information on the performance of the leisure operating contracts, which you can see in Section 6 of the report. It's flagging no major issues, really. I think it's just one amber there. So, again, very positive. And also on the Towns Fund, that's Section 7 of the report. That shows that the three partner projects are currently identified as being on track, with the college project having now been completed. Of course, there's further detail on the leisure and Towns Fund performance contained in the two appendices that we'll see later on in the agenda this evening. So that's a, you know, high-level summary, really. Happy to take any questions or take any questions away.
Any questions? Nope. Okay, thank you. Put that back on. Circulated with the agenda. Does anyone have any questions on any of these? No. Okay, thank you. And the date of the next meeting is to be confirmed. The 2024-25 calendar is currently going through the approval process. Once the dates are confirmed, an email will be sent out to members. Thank you. We have three items to consider in the private part, so I will now move. In accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and the public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely to view of the nature of the business to be transacted or nature of the proceedings that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraphs part 1 of Schedule 12A and the Act indicated in brackets for each item on the agenda. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Locke. We will now go to the vote. All those for? Any against? Any abstentions? No. Confirm the vote is carried. Wait for the members of the public to leave. Thank you, Stephen.